Hey guys, this is Tracy. I apologize for the delay this week for the hashtag Fish Life podcast, but here you go. Enjoy the very first part of the month of June series, which is Cheers to the Music That Made Me. Hey guys, this is Tracy. I'm coming to you with the hashtag Fish Life podcast. Thank you for tuning in from whatever device, whatever app, whatever platform you're using to get through to this podcast. I really, really appreciate it. Today, when I'm recording, I usually record on Wednesdays so that I can put it out every Wednesday. And it really hasn't varied since I started. I really like having that day set aside so I can do this. But today starts the month of the music that I grew up with. Cheers to the music that made me. That's kind of the whole premise of this month of June. So it's June 2019. Let's dig in and start talking music. When you grow up in a household where your parents are into big band and standards, your older brother is into the Fat Boys and your younger brother is into people like Donna Lewis, you can kind of tell the age range of the people in the house. When I was probably about 3 or 4, I distinctly remember hearing my parents, they would sing Frank Sinatra around the house. We'd listen to a lot of Ella Fitzgerald and Fats Domino. So that was always kind of my backbone for my music. As I got older and was able to actually develop my own musical tastes, I was really interested in that heavy, the rap and hip hop sound. My older brother is 9 years older than me, and he really was instrumental in getting me into that genre of music. So since then, I have not really varied a lot from that. I've had my moments with dubstep and house. I've had my moments with college alternative rock. I've had my moments with nerdcore, which I still thoroughly love. But again, that's that hip hop sound. So let's just go. My very first concert I ever remember going to was Frank Sinatra and Liza Minnelli. I believe I was about 7, followed by Sandy Patty, who is a Christian rock icon, which is probably very blasphemous to say Christian and icon in the same sentence. But Sandy Patty was a fantastic concert. The concert was for her, her album Someone Up There Loves Me, and I distinctly remember the shirt that I had. It was like her looking up at the sky, and it was like in this long blue 80s style dress with the long waistline where it, like, the hem was at the, you know, like your mid calf, and it was real ruffly. But those are my first two concerts that I really distinctly remember going to. Now, since then, I've seen the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. I've seen Bone Thugs and Harmony. I have seen Cottonmouth Kings. I've seen Everlast a few times. Sugar Ray. Two Skinny Jays. I've seen McGregor. I mean, there are these groups that I've seen that I absolutely love. I've seen Jason Mraz about 4 times now, 3 or 4 times. But there are these musicians that started it out for me. So let's talk once I started being able to purchase music. Now, I will tell you that the very first album that I ever bought for myself, I was about 5, and my dad said we could go to the store, and my older brother was getting something. So if I was 5 and he's 9 years older, he was about 14, picking out some Fat Boys, picking out some other stuff. Now, I distinctly remember the Fat Boys because that was the Wipeout, and the Fat Boys Are Back. It was right around that time that came out, and I remember my brother had those giant 80s orange foam covered headphones that you could like break apart and like share with other people in the car. And I remember him making my mom, who's his stepmom, listen to Wipeout with the Beach Boys and the Fat Boys, because my mom grew up in California, so she's all about like the Beach Boys. She was all into the Beach Boys. So I just really remember listening to that. So I know my brother was off buying something, and I decided that I loved Prince's Purple Rain, probably because it had a picture of what I thought was a woman sitting next to a motorcycle, and the whole album was like purple, right? So we get home with it, and my mom completely vetoes it, but by this time I've already opened it. Do you guys remember when cars, like Oldsmobile specifically, would come with like a cassette that you would put in the tape deck, and it would be like music and the instructions, there would be things that would walk you through the car. I don't know why that stands out to me, but having a cassette player in a car is not just a novelty to me, it's like a blessing. I have a lot of cassettes still that I love, and I'm introducing my kids to this music. Case in point, we listened to D-Lite's World Click today on the way to day camp. And they love Groove Is in the Heart, and I have it on a portable cassette player that I plugged into some old school computer speakers so they could hear it in the car. So anyway, we get home with Princess Purple Rain. Mom says, no way, take it back. By this time, I've already opened it, so we can't return it. But my brother kind of absorbed it, so he got this Princess Purple Rain cassette that he didn't really want, he didn't really care about. So that was like the first musical purchase I ever made for myself, at like five. As I got older, we actually moved from Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas to Cincinnati, Ohio. I was in sixth grade, so I was about 10 or 11. And around that time, my parents were both working, so I would get off the bus and I would go home and I would dive into the television, because when you're 10 or 11 and you need to decompress, you go home, you eat a snack, and you watch TV. But I wasn't into the cartoons. I mean, I was, but I wasn't like, they didn't hold my interest that much. I wanted music. So this was back around the time when the box, the on-demand, you'd call in and request a song. It was like MTV, but on demand. So you could call in, request music, but Rap City was real big on BET, so I was tuning into Rap City a lot, and I was getting a lot of my musical knowledge through that. And I already knew I liked hip hop. I already knew I liked that kind of stuff. When I was about nine, Was Not Was came out with Walk the Dinosaur, and that was, that was such a huge album, and I know that's not what it's called, not the album, what it's titled, but I can't think of what it is. I have it literally right next to me in the cassette thing, but I do these podcasts while I'm driving sometimes, so I'm gonna be safe. The album with Walk the Dinosaur on it was huge, because I was hearing all these different sounds that they spoke to me. I love the way that Wedding Bells in Vegas was sung by Frank Sinatra Jr. You had Earth to Doris, you had Hello Dad, I'm in Jail. I mean, you had all these different sounds, and then you had Walk the Dinosaur, which was this standalone LP that just, it was amazing, because people were, it was like right at the beginning of the 90s when dance-along songs were a big deal, and like Achy Breaky Heart was a big deal, and you had Boot Scoot and Boogie that came out. So you had all these songs that were like the preface to the Electric Slide. Now, I know a lot of you guys are going, but what about The Hustle and The Twist? Yeah, so those were like precursors to Walk the Dinosaur, and Walk the Dinosaur reopened the door for like the Electric Slide and Cupid Shuffle and Boot Scoot and Boogie and all those songs that would come after it, where it incorporated dance moves and music. I'm getting off track. Let's go back to Rap City. So when I got in tune with Rap City on BET, my whole world opened, because in the early 90s, you had groups like De La Soul and A Tribe Called Quest, the Jungle Brothers, and that, you had like these groups that were just, and you had Brand Nubian, and you had these groups that were just really trying to make a cultural difference. They wanted to speak out about things that they were seeing in their community. Now, being a little 10-year-old white girl from Cincinnati, Ohio, I was not relating to that aspect of anything, but more so opening my eyes to, hey, my world isn't just this suburb. So musically, I was introduced to a whole nother cultural aspect of music. Once I got old enough, one of my very first cassettes that I bought for myself, the second cassette I bought for myself, was De La Soul, De La Soul Is Dead. And it's the one that has Ha Ha Hey on it, which is also known as Ring Ring Ring, which is the Hey How You Doing, Sorry You Can't Get Through, like the answering machine one. But listening to that cassette in the back of the bus on my yellow Sony Walkman with like the first kind of earbud that still had the attachment to it, like still had the headband attachment to it. I mean, that was the jam, man. That was the stuff. Like, I was now officially in love with music. I was now in tune with listening to things that made my mind think. De La Soul's music is fun as far as the way that it sounds, but if you actually listen to it and you listen to the words and you listen to, you know, what they're saying, it's really, really intriguing. They were having a hard time with their record label at the time, you know, when that came out, and then they did 3 Feet High and Rising, which was before that. They did, which I think, believe, Me, Myself, and I was another one, and that had, like, Potholes in My Lawn, and they were talking about, you know, if you listen to Potholes in My Lawn, they're talking about, you know, their front yard is the street, right? So there's potholes in the street, and that's, it just blew my mind listening to this music. So to this day, I still have the majority. I'm missing like 3 De La albums. So I love De La. And my daughter loves Roller Skating Jam Named Saturday, which is on De La Soul Is Dead. You know, I'm still a big fan of Ha Ha Hey. There's like Me, Myself, and I is just, you know, and IB and like all that stuff. There's these great, I don't even know how to explain it. It pairs right up with the next artist that I was really in love with, which was Arrested Development, where they had their 3 Years album, and I can't remember the numbers. Again, I'm driving, but I still have that on cassette. I still adore that on cassette. We would take a trip every fall out to a pumpkin farm by our house, and I would take that with me, and I'd listen to it over and over and over. It was a good 3 times by the time we went back, up and back. But that album still carries with me to the point where, like, somebody took it from me, broke it, I went out and got a new one, and then when we made the big, like, cassette to CD switchover, I actually got the CD, and then I have their newest one, which is something about Long Time. I can't, it's been a long time, or something along those lines. But Arrested Development was all about political empowerment in the black community, and being aware of your surroundings and not being a doormat. And, you know, while it wasn't speaking to me in the same way that it would be speaking to my peers, it was definitely eye-opening in a sense that I didn't have to take things lightly if they bothered me. And I love that message. I love that they were out there and they were talking about, you know, political issues, because I think that was my first foray into music and politics combined. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not like, I love Rage Against the Machine, but, that's heavy, heavy political. Like, I think that's why I didn't get into a lot of the punk movement, because to me that was a very political movement and I had a really hard time digesting it. It wasn't the sound, it was the method and strategy on how that came out. But Arrested Development was kind of like this passive-aggressive, in-your-face, screw you, the man, kind of thing. And I identified with, you know, feeling like you were helpless, because at that point I was going through my first round of depression. And so, you know, we had moved to Cincinnati when I was 10. I went to 3 different schools in 6th grade, because the first one was before we moved. The second was the first school I went to when we got here. And then by Christmas break, I was already at a 3rd school. And it wasn't anything that I was doing wrong. It was just that the school wasn't good for me. But it was a really rough transition that year. And it really brought me down, because I felt like every time I would go to make friends, then they were gone. And, you know, I had friends in Kansas City that said they would come and write to me all the time. This was before email, you know, and I would get a letter every once in a while. And then it was just like they stopped. So my heart kind of sank. I got very upset. I got very depressed. And so to listen to this music that was telling me, if something's wrong, don't hold it in, speak out about it, that was huge to me. Along the same lines of this, again, I mentioned A Tribe Called Quest. Let's go back to my older brother. He was super, super huge in getting me involved with Tribe Called Quest. He gave me Midnight Marauders for my 13th birthday. And Midnight Marauders still gets heavy rotation in my music. I do absolutely adore that album. It was a huge album, not only for Tribe, but for their fans, because it really brought about just this, it was kind of gritty and kind of not. It was like a preemptive strike on what we were going to get in the mid to late 90s. It was definitely an interesting kind of feel to it. So I am stopped. I do have to have the car running though, but I'm parked in a driveway, and I'm going to pull out the cassettes real quick because I want to go through what I have. Because next week I actually have a special guest, and I'm super excited because not only is this someone that I've known for like 20 plus years, actually the people that are going to be in June that are helping me. I've got a friend that I've known for 20 years and another one that I've known for almost 26, and these people mean the world to me, and I'm so excited to share this journey with them. Oh wow, I totally forgot about these cassettes. So we've got the Youngsters, which is this is a little something for the Youngsters, and let's see, this is probably, I think this is like their first cassette. There was this whole surge of like young rappers. I mean, we're talking Another Bad Creation, which is also in here. Guys, I need you to hear this. That's the cassette. You remember how that sounds? most of my cassette cases are like snapped in half or broken or something. But so we've got the Youngsters, we've got Crisscross, we've got Another Bad Creation, which you guys remember Meteor Man with Robert Townsend? They were like the little blonde-headed kids in that. But they were actually really picked up by BBD, Belle Biv DeVoe, which was another group that I really, really liked at that time because they had Coolie High Harmony, and that was where like they really stuck out. Tribe, we've got Beats, Rhymes, and Life. Let's see. Now, little known fact, the Fugees actually started around this time, and they were called Translator Crew. I do have that cassette. I actually have that on CD now as well. My buddy Alex, who you'll be hearing from later in this month, he and I share a big affinity for that. And I got some Run DMC, Together Forever, The Greatest Hits. That's got like Christmas in Hollis. It's like that. It's got Sucker MCs. Oh, My Adidas and You Be Illin. Let's see. Oh, some Poor Righteous Teachers. You know, like there's all these people that I never heard of until I started tuning in and watching Rap City. So Rap City is really where I got a lot of my musical influence in my early teens. And I wouldn't change that for the whole freaking universe if you paid me. Oh, here's the Was Not Was album. Let's see. What was this called? What Up Dog. That's right. And I think that to me, like, I didn't get that. Like, I didn't get that they weren't like talking about an actual dog. Like, I think I thought like What Up Dog was like, hey puppy, what are you doing? But no, it was like, what up dog, you know? And it was this again, it was this whole instrumental thing to me. Now I've got all these cassette singles. Let's see, Janet Jackson's If. We've got, let's see, those are later in the month. Yeah, those are going to be later in the month here. But talking about De La Soul, and De La Soul is dead. Like, the fact that Prince Paul is still such an influential person in hip-hop and producing and really just a go-to in the industry is huge to me. Guru and Gangstar. Like I said before, you got Brand Nubian. You got Ed OG and the Bulldogs. I really need to bring out this CD I have called Rappies from the Streets, Positive K, Candyman. You've got Silk and Shy, like all these R&B hip hop artists that I just clung to. And then being a young white female in a Catholic school at this time, I was like the music person. Like they would come to me. Digable Planets, man, if I didn't talk about Digable, I'd be remiss, man. Digable Planets got me through some massive stuff, and you know, their music and their words are super and hyper relevant to this day. If you go and you look at what's going on right now, I urge you, Digable Planets, Refutation of Time and Space, that first CD that they came out with, Blowout Comb isn't bad, but that first CD that they came out with that had Cool Like That on it go and listen to Femme Fatale. I actually have the CD in the car, but you need to go and listen to Femme Fatale, and you need to listen to the words, look at the words, and tell me that they aren't still relevant. That is the thing that I love about all these artists. I mean, with like the exception of maybe like Criss Cross, and like Another Bad Creation. Well, even still, ABC, you can kind of relate to some of the stuff they're talking about, but you know, it's like, that's the thing I love, is that it's timeless. The music that I cling to, it's relevant then. It's relevant now, and it's going to be relevant in 10 years. It just is. Somebody's going to relate to it. Somebody's going to get their first whiff of Tribe and be like, damn, I totally get that. They're going to listen to freaking The Simpsons Sing the Blues, which, yes, I have. And they're going to sit there and they're going to be like, yeah, I'm in deep trouble. Yeah, I get it. Like it's a cartoon album, but we get it. You know, I don't have the luxury of being in front of my CDs right now. But remember when, like, in the mid-90s, we all had, like, that CD briefcase? I don't know about you guys, but mine was 400+. I had two of them at one point because I just loved music so much, man. Music was, like my output, and it did so much for me as a person that music just deserves this huge spot in my life. Music is life in our house. When we're feeling bad, we put on music and we have a dance party. If we're sitting around the table after dinner and kids are talking about music, we pull up YouTube and we watch the videos. Just all this music that I know my kids are involved with now, I know they're going to have like this positive feeling towards it as they get older. And it's amazing to me that they will have these memories with this music that I grew up with, this music that they now get to grow up with. I would love to know what kind of music influenced you as a kid. I mean, next week, oh man, next week is going to be trouble, you guys. I cannot wait to get into next week's episode. Not because I get to have a guest with me, not because, you know, it's going to be this great trip down memory lane, but because I'm looking forward to sharing this with people. You know, I caught a YouTube channel where this kid had never heard of A Tribe Called Quest. He kept calling them The Tribe Called Quest. And like my brain just exploded. How have you never heard of them? And the kid was like in his 20s and he was kind of starting to catch some of the lyrics. Like it was Scenario, which is one of our favorites in our house. Like we love Scenario because I love Leaders of New School. You got Charlie Brown, Dinko, and Busta. And I love Busta. And you know, you got all those guys and then you got Tribe. And then, you know, you got Redman in that video eating a friggin' chicken wing. Like, it was directed by Spike Lee back when, like, the early Mac came out in the early 90s where, you know, like, the whole Windows look to it was different. But, you know, the lyrics just blew this kid's mind. And he was picking up on stuff. And he was just like, oh, this is tight. This is cool. This is hype, man. And I just kept thinking, like, yes, it's always been like that. You have to surround yourself with music like this. You have to surround yourself with music that gets you hyped, that makes you excited, that makes you happy to listen. And that's like, that's the whole point of this month, is I'm going to showcase music that really gets you going. So we've covered today, like 5 years old through 13 or 14, right? So we are going to get into high school music next week, and probably early 20s. And then when Alex joins in, we're probably going to just focus on a couple of artists and the significance that they have in our lives and to each other. because there's certain people in your life that when you listen to a song, you go, oh man, I remember that time that we were like in this area of town, like in Clifton here in Cincinnati, and we'd roll up after school and we'd go to the Burger King there that's not even there anymore. And that was like back when... you know, like they allowed smoking at McDonald's and like we would roll through with the Dangerous Mind soundtrack and like, you know, it just, there's certain soundtracks, there's certain pieces, you know, people always say the soundtrack of your life. It's a true statement. The soundtrack of your life is what really gets you through. It's what really gets you going. So I hope you enjoy this month as much as we do. We are music fanatics. My friend that'll join me next week, I'm not really sure what she wants to be addressed as, mainly because I don't know if she wants to use her real name. Not that there's anything bad with it, but you know, it's just her choice. But I cannot wait for us to share our excitement with you. I won't lie, we're probably going to have a couple of drinks and reminisce next week while we're doing this. So it's going to be a fun, exciting show. I'm super thrilled that you're going to be joining us for this month, because this month is the one where there's going to be some tears, there's going to be some laughing. I'm already like anxiously teary-eyed right now talking about this. I cannot wait to share this month with you guys. We're about 25 minutes in right now. This is probably the longest I've gone by myself talking about something. I really appreciate everybody's support so far. I had 9 listeners on last week's podcast. I'd love to see 12 this week, mainly just because I like to know that the things are getting out to people. So, excuse me. I'm just going to go ahead and sign off for now. Remember, I love it when people put a smile on my face, so make sure you put one on yours and one on somebody else's, because you never know when they're really going to need it. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you have comments or questions, or even if you want to favorite this, please, please let me know. If you're listening through the Anchor app and you're interested in being a guest on the show, or you have something that you'd like to tell me, please reach out to me. I would love to thank whoever gave me a 5-star rating on Apple. That's pretty awesome. Thank you so much. I haven't been able to see any other ratings, so if somebody else has gone ahead and given me that ultimate star, I really appreciate everything that you're doing. Please feel free to share this podcast with your friends. The more the merrier. I'm not trying to build a cult following, but I would love to get my words out to other people. I think that there are going to be some topics here that people need to hear. Next month is July, and we will be covering self-care, why we do it, how we do it, and how we can teach our girls the importance, the importance of it. That was a suggestion to me by my friend Nina, who's raising some incredibly strong and beautiful girls of her own. I myself have 3 daughters, and it's also important for our sons to learn self-care and how to respect self-care, and like not to trivialize it or say that it's not important. On both sides, you know, it's not just about the girls. So have a fantastic day. Thanks for tuning in. I hope to have you listen next week when I have a special guest on the 12th. We will be celebrating the music of our teens and early 20s. Thanks for tuning in to #FishLife Podcast. This has been Tracy, and I will talk to you guys next week. Bye.